Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Church family, I want you to take your Bible and hold it like this. And I want you to split it right down the middle. Now, unless you have a long concordance, you're going to come to the book of Psalms. How many of y'all came to Psalms when you split it down the middle? Okay, only four people did. Okay, other than that. All right, now, I want you to turn to the right, and I want you to go to the book of Proverbs, and I want you to keep going all the way until you come to the book of Ecclesiastes. That's what we're going to study together. We have all kinds of people at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today and many listening are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. I have here in my hand a Veritas Forum from Dr. Ravi Zacharias. Dr. Ravi Zacharias recently just went to heaven after many, many decades of being an apologist and preaching the gospel. This particular one is the Veritas Forum at Ohio State University. I had this in my office, and I just picked it up and grabbed it. Many decades ago, he spoke at Harvard University, where he would go into a university setting, and he would have an open forum. He would make the case for the existence of God. He would make the case that the greatest life you could ever live would be a life lived with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then he would open it up to an open forum. The Harvard Veritas Forum that looks like this exact book here, or actually this was a tape, this is how old I am, this was a tape series, okay? This is a cassette tape series, all right? Anyway, it really changed the direction of my ministry in the sense of apologetics. In that Harvard Veritas Forum, Zacharias made this statement. He said, "The loneliest moment in life is when you finally get what you thought would deliver the ultimate, and you find it wanting." Blaise Pascal, the philosopher, said this, "In every heart, there is a God-shaped vacuum. And all of life is spent trying to find the missing puzzle piece of what is going to make us happy." I don't know about you, when I put a puzzle together, I grab the piece that looks like it's going to fit, and I lay it on top of the opening there that I think it's going to fit in. And if it doesn't fit, I do what you do. I jam it in there to make sure that it fits, right? Well, that's what we spend our life doing, Pascal said, is we're looking for the missing puzzle piece. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book about Solomon, who was the wisest man in the world. He was the son of David. He built the temple. He asked in 1 Kings that God would give him great intellectual ability and wisdom, and God did that. God granted him that. And as a result of his life trying to find what would ultimately deliver the ultimate in his life, he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. So our new series is Man's Search for the Missing Puzzle Piece. That's what we're going to be studying in the next few weeks. Man's Search for the missing puzzle piece. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." Now, this is obviously Solomon. Some of your versions may say the words of the teacher. The word, the preacher there is the Hebrew word that means a teacher or a preacher. And the root of it means to gather. It's one who gathers. Actually, it's kind of like this. We're gathered together, okay? And we're here and we have been worshiping and we are going to contemplate some things about life. This is what Solomon is doing for us. And it says in that passage, it says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. The word vanity is the word for breath or vapor. You remember in the book of James, it says life is but a vapor. It's like a puff of smoke. And he says that I've looked at life, and he says, let me tell you about life. Life is the vanity of vanity. He says all is vanity. It means a breath. It's the root word that means a breath. It means it's empty. It means it's fleeting. The word can thus combine the notions of being insubstantial and transitory, like it is in Psalm 144, verse 4, that says this, "Man is like a breath. Everything is transitory and therefore of no lasting value. People are caught in the trap of the absurd and pursue empty pleasures. They build their lives on lies." Pascal says that all of life is searching for what is going to fit in our life. Augustine said it this way. He said, "Lord, thou hast made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee." So we have the opportunity to study from someone who had it all, someone who had all that knowledge, someone who had all that wealth. Everything that you and I think we want that will deliver the ultimate, Solomon had it. And he's going to give us some words of wisdom about what life is really all about. There is a relationship which makes life complete. Without that relationship, there is a void, a vacuum in life. Many people, even those who are well known, can attest to that void. For example, H.G. Wells, famous historian and philosopher, said this at age 61. He says, "I have no peace. All of life is at the end of the tether," end quote. The poet Byron said this, quote, "My days are in the yellow leaf. The flower and the fruits of life are gone. The worm and the canker and the grief are mine alone," end quote. The literary genius Thoreau said this, quote, "Most men live lives of quiet desperation." What are they desperate for? They're searching for what is going to deliver the ultimate. Ralph Barton, one of the top cartoonists of the nations, left this note pinned to his pillow before taking his own life. Quote, "I have had few difficulties, many friends, great successes. I have gone from wife to wife, from house to house, visited great countries of the world, but I am fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours in the day." And so, ladies and gentlemen, why do we want to study the book of Ecclesiastes? There's several reasons that I want to give you why we ought to embark on this study. The first one is this. It is honest about the troubles of life. It doesn't candy coat life. And Solomon is real with us about the difficulties that we face and the monotony sometimes that we face and the search that we're all on for true happiness and purpose. So number one, it's honest about the troubles of life. Number two, we should study it because it will tell us the truth about what will happen if we live by what the world has to offer instead of what God has to give. If we live by what the world has to offer, Ecclesiastes is going to hit us right between the eyes and tell us exactly what life is really all about and the mistake that we will make if we only seek what the world has to give. Number three, Ecclesiastes asks the biggest and the hardest questions that people ask today. What is the meaning of life? Why am I so unhappy? Does God really care? Why is there so much suffering and injustice in the world? Is life really worth living? Number four, it will help us worship the one true God. Number five, it helps us live for God and not just for ourselves. It is a book for skeptics. It is a book for agnostics and those who are seeking answers. And it is a book for those who believe in Jesus Christ, who want to make sure that their life is focused upon the things that really count. And so today's message is the search under the sun. I want you to find your place in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I'm going to begin with verse 3 and read this chapter, okay? So you follow along in your copy of God's Word, and I'll read from mine. It says this: "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again to its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again." Verse 8, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun." Now, church family, don't get depressed here, okay? This can get kind of intense, okay? We're going to get to some good news here in a minute. Verse 10, "Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in the ancient times before us." Verse 11, "There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after." Verse 12, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind," or chasing the wind. "What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, 'Look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind." That's a phrase he uses all throughout this book. "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." The book of Ecclesiastes begins in chapter 1 with the search that is under the sun. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, he says, "What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" That phrase, under the sun, it means you're living in the nasty now and now. It means you're living life in the same way that you lived it yesterday. You're going to live it tomorrow. And basically, the sun's going to go up, the sun's going to go down. So there are three things about this chapter that I want to highlight for us today as we look at God's Word. The first is this: under the sun, the world will pass you by. In verse 3, it says, "What profit has a man for all his labor?" The word profit there means the net gain. In other words, what really do you end up with if all you're living for is the labor that you have? And the word labors there means hard work. "One generation passes away, but the earth abides forever." Notice in verse number 4, "One generation passes away and another generation comes." He's talking about the monotony, that life is just passing us by. And then in verse 5, look at this, it says, "The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose." I think when I was at UF, I read Hemingway's book, "The Sun Also Rises." It's a story of some people in Pamplona, Spain. They were there at the bullfights, and it was really a story about Hemingway himself. And there's a picture of Hemingway in Spain at a little coffee shop, and there's a woman there whom he was going to have an affair with. There was another man who was trying to have a relationship with her. And later in that trip, they got in a fight, and there was all kinds of conflict. And he wrote about that, and the name of his book was taken from this passage of Scripture. "The sun also rises I remember reading that book, The Sun Also Rises. In verse 5, it says, the sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens. The word hasten means it's eager for it. In other words, the sun pants to go down to where it was. It's going to come up again. The world is passing Hemingway by. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, who really had everything, he's saying, you know what I've realized? He said, time gets by really fast. And he's going to tell us in this book, he's going to tell us, you better focus your life on the things that matter. You better focus your life on what is the real missing puzzle piece of life. Because the search under the sun, you realize the world, under the sun, the world will pass you by. It gives us the impression that the earth is indifferent to us. You ever get that feeling? I remember, I don't know why this came to me when I was studying this, but I remember when I was a kid, I went to the Nantahala River. Anybody ever been to the Nantahala River? You even know what I'm talking about. Okay, wonderful. That's a little river that you can ride rapids on. I remember when I was a teenager, I fell off at that little waterfall at the end of it. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, I fell off, and on the other side of that little waterfall, there's an eddy. You know what an eddy is? It's a little place where there's kind of a swirl right on the other side of a fall. And I fell off my tube, and I got caught up in that whirlpool, and I remember being scared to death because I could not get up and get air. Finally, I just gave up, and I went down under the water, and then it shot me out. You know what I'm talking about? You're going, no, I don't. But anyway, it happened, okay? It happened. I went down under the water, and it shot me out, and I got out okay. Probably 25, maybe 30 years later, I took my family to the Nantahala River, and we all got in a boat. They said, you need a guide. I said, how much is it? They said, what it was. I said, we'll guide ourselves. And so I was at the back of that thing trying to guide us. Well, we went over that same waterfall. You know what? It just looked exactly the same. You know what Ecclesiastes is saying? You go to the Nantahala River to the end of that fall, it looks the same today that it looked 30 years ago. Hey, can I tell you something? One day I'm going to be dead and gone. The little falls at the end of the Nantahala River are still going to look the same. Amen. That can be depressing. Because Solomon is saying to us, the earth is indifferent. Amen. To me. He's saying the sun rises and the sun goes down. And it looks like everything remains the same. In verse 6 it says, the wind goes toward the south. And it turns around to the north. The wind whirls continually and comes again on its circuit. And then it says this, all the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. Have you ever thought about that? All the freshwater rivers run into the ocean, and it doesn't fill up, and the rivers keep coming. You ever tried to explain that? Solomon says, you know what? I look at that. Yet the sea is not full. The place from which the rivers come, there they return again. Then he says this in verse 8. He said, all things are full of labor. That little phrase is a summary of the previous verses, 3 through 7. All things are full of labor. It's just work. And he says, man cannot express it. In other words, man has no answers. And then it says this, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. You look around and you're looking for something. The world is looking for something, and they look around and they're not satisfied. And then it says, our ears are not satisfied. It gives us the impression, like Psalm 144 verse 4, it says this, man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. There's an actor named Billy Crystal, and he was talking about the monotony of life. And in one movie, he plays a baby boomer who sells radio advertising time, and he goes in to speak to his little elementary child's class about about what his life is like in the work world. You know, it's kind of like bring daddy to school day. And he all of a sudden goes off on a monologue to the bewildered youngsters in the class. And I think he's just describing in that movie a little bit about what Solomon is saying to us today about how life can just pass you by. Here's what he said. He said to these little kids, now imagine he's in an elementary class, he says to these little kids, hey, value this time in your life, kids, because this is the time in your life when you still have your choices. It goes fast. When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? Your 40s, you grow a little pot belly. You grow another chin. Don't say it. You grow another chin. The music starts to get too loud. One of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. Your 50s, you have a minor surgery. You call it a procedure, but it's a surgery. Your 60s, you have a major surgery. The music is still loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyway. The 70s, you and your wife retire to Fort Lauderdale. You start eating dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have lunch around 10 a.m., breakfast the night before. You spend most of your time wandering around the malls looking for the ultimate soft yogurt and muttering, how come the kids don't call? How come the kids don't call? The 80s, you'll have another major medical problem, and you end up with a nurse you call mama. Is that really what life's all about? John Piper, in his message in the year 2000 to several thousand college students, he said, you know, I know what most of you want. He said, most of you want to graduate from college and get a good job and get a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house and a Ford Explorer. And you think, I've got the ultimate. If you're not careful, you come towards the end of your life and you realize your life has passed you by. And that's exactly what happens under the sun. Solomon says, number one, under the sun, the world will pass you by. Number two, under the sun, there is nothing new for you. In verses 9 through 11, boy, this gets tough here. He says, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Nations rise and fall, but human nature remains the same. There are times of war and there are times of peace, but even in peacetime, we know that war will come again. It's like a cycle. There are some human inventions, but man's nature is still fallen. We see in verse 10, is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come afterwards. This passage, ladies and gentlemen, is not a contradiction to the gospel, but it is a call for the gospel. The world is in bondage and humanity is unable to explain, find satisfaction in, or alter it. Only the Word who came in the world from above can open the way of understanding and the way of escape. And the Lord Jesus Christ provides that for us in His death, burial, and resurrection and what He did on the cross. Another saying of Zacharias, I point out in Zacharias's tape series here, another one of his famous sayings is this. He says, you spend your whole life climbing the ladder of success, and you later discover that it's leaning against the wrong wall. This is what Ecclesiastes is all about. Now, you have a choice, and I have a choice. We either listen to the wisdom of others, or we have the bullheaded idea that we are going to experience it all ourselves and nothing can be learned except what I have experienced. But what's going to happen is life's going to go by so fast you won't have time to change. Amen. But we have an opportunity to change now. And so the search under the sun, number one, the world will pass you by. Under the sun, there's nothing new for you. And here's the third thing in verses 13 through 18. Under the sun, your intellect will fail you. Under the sun, your intellect will fail you. He says, I set my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom in verse 13. Look at that. In verse 13 of our passage, to search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task, that phrase, I've got it circled in my Bible. This burdensome task of trying to understand it intellectually, I've got that circle and I wrote out in the margin, that's a lousy job. That's really literally what that word means, this burdensome task. It's a lousy job. You want a lousy job? Spend all your life mentally in your own wisdom trying to figure out life. He says it's a lousy job. It's a burdensome task. And he says in verse 13, he says, search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven, this burdensome task God has given to the sons of men by which they may be exercised, or that word means to be afflicted. In verse 14, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. In other words, this is a word for intellectual labor. I've put my mind to this with all the wisdom I could muster that are done under the sun. Indeed, all is I've done all of this my whole life, and I've searched it out with all the wisdom, everything I could read, everything I could know about science, everything I could know about history, to try to figure out life under the sun. He says, all is, that word, vanity. It's like a breath. And then he says, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. You may catch the wind, but when you get it, there's nothing there. It's kind of like cotton candy. Did you grow up loving cotton candy? Man, I tell you what, in Jacksonville, Florida, when I was a kid, they had the biggest fair, at least I thought it was the biggest fair, in downtown Jacksonville, right by the Gator Bowl. When I was a kid, we used to go there. Man, the first thing I wanted was cotton candy. Cotton candy is wonderful. You know why? Because it's colorful and it's big. Somebody says, you want a piece of gum or you want cotton candy? I mean, what kind of a question is that? I want cotton candy. Why? Because it's colorful and it's big. You bite into it. It's gone. He says, it's like grasping the wind. And he says in verse 15, what is crooked cannot be made straight. In other words, he's saying this problem cannot be solved with just intellectual prowess. He says, what's crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking or missing cannot be numbered. In other words, I don't have all the information. It's like I was telling Will Frazier, it's like having a word problem in mathematics and you just know there's got to be more information. You don't have enough in the problem to solve it. It says there in that passage, it says, what is lacking cannot be numbered. There's missing information. He says, to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. He tried looking at both ends of the spectrum in verse 16. I've attained greatness. I've gained more wisdom than all that were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood the great wisdom and knowledge. And I set my heart to know wisdom, verse 17, and to know madness. He's anticipating what we're going to study next week, madness, pleasure. He says, I've tried that too. He said, let me give you a preview of chapter 2. But he says, I've looked at all ends of the spectrum. And he says this, for in much wisdom is much grief. That means sadness of heart. Everywhere I try, I have a saddened heart. And then he says in verse 18 at the end, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. And that means mental anguish. Mental anguish. In 2010, two Harvard psychologists did a study called A Wandering Mind is an Unhappy Mind. And Matthew Killingsworth and Daniel Gilbert from Harvard developed an iPhone app. You got an iPhone? They developed an iPhone app to survey the thoughts, feelings, and actions of 5,000 people at any given time throughout the day. So when a chime went off randomly on a participant's smartphone, up popped a series of questions that touched on what the person was doing. If he was thinking about what he was doing and how happy he was, among other things. From the results of the survey, Killingsworth and Gilbert found that, quote, people are thinking about what is not happening almost as often as they are thinking about what is happening. And doing so typically makes them unhappy. They're thinking about what's not happening. And doing so typically makes them unhappy. So Solomon, by the way, he's going to give us the answer. Okay? So don't be discouraged. But learn from it. The scripture says those in the Old Testament were given to us as examples. In other words, we are to learn from the experiences of others, the experience of prophets before us, the experience of Solomon and King David and all of them. They have lived their life and we can understand what they've gone through so that we don't have to make the same mistakes. I told you about Ravi Zacharias. You know, Ravi Zacharias wanted to play cricket. He was not all that brilliant. He wanted to play cricket. He was not all that great in school, and he was under a lot of pressure at home to perform academically. He wanted to play cricket, and he was good at cricket, but he was not that good, and he became depressed. And one day, Ravi Zacharias tried to take his own life. A lot of people don't know that about him. As a teenage boy, he was looking for meaning, and he tried to take his own life. He had been to a Youth for Christ rally in India, and he had heard the gospel, but he was discouraged, and he tried to take his own life, and he was in a bed of suicide in the hospital, and Fred David, a Youth for Christ worker, came to his bed, and his mother was there, and he said, I have something that I want to give your son. And it was a little Gideon's New Testament. And the mother said, excuse me, Mr. David, but my son is in critical condition, and you can't stay here. He said, ma'am, your son needs this more than he needs anything right now. And he read to him from John 14. I want you to take your Bibles, and we'll close with this. I want you to turn to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the New Testament, chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I want you to look at verse 6. Thomas was the doubting disciple, and Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. You're talking about heaven. We don't know where you're going. And Jesus made these very famous words when he said to Thomas, Jesus said to him in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that man shared that with Ravi Zacharias, and he kept reading the chapter. And can I tell you this? You're talking about the power of the Word of God. You're talking about the power of the gospel of Jesus to change lives. He got down to verse 19. Look at verse 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And then these words are the words that Ravi Zacharias said changed the course of his life. He says, because I live, you will live also. And on that bed of suicide, Ravi Zacharias said, Lord God, if you are real, will you change my life? And then he made this promise. He said, I will leave no stone unturned seeking the truth of God's word. And that's what he spent the rest of his life doing. The answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I live, you will live also. Now, we're going to come to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes eventually. But in that last chapter, the writer says this: remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, Pascal, even though he was a secular philosopher, he had something very important to say. He said that in every man there's a God-shaped vacuum. And he said, until we find our rest, Augustine, he agreed with Augustine that said, until we find our rest in thee, we will always be searching. Amen. I'm so thankful that as a teenage boy myself, praise God, somebody told me that Jesus Christ wanted to save me and wanted to change my life. And I'm so glad that they insisted on preaching the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on a cross to pay for our sins and to purchase us a place in heaven, which he offers as a free gift. So what is this life under the sun? This life under the sun is it will pass you by. It is meaningless. There's nothing new about it. Your intellect will not find the answer. But if you will turn your life over to Jesus Christ, if you will align your life with the authority of God's Word, God will change your life and use you in a great way to have purpose and to have meaning. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.